Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
We'll have Ari Temkin joining us in just a second. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You got conference championship weekend. That is right around the corner. And we will see BYU Texas Tech coming up on Saturday. We will get to see if Texas Tech can find a way to beat BYU twice, or there'll be some revenge for BYU for the matchup a few weeks ago. We do have breaking news in college football, according to Pete Nakos and also Chris Lowe. James Madison is working to finalize a deal to hire former Florida coach Billy Napier. Makes sense for James Madison after losing their head football coach, obviously, to UCLA and Bob Chesney. I look at Billy Napier. He went through the gauntlet, right? Did a good job with the Raging Cajuns and was deserving of a new job, a bigger job. Got that job at Florida. It didn't work out. Now you go back to the smaller scale. And I think Billy Napier in that smaller scale could still be a very good coach. But we got the Big 12 championship game this weekend, all the conference championship games this weekend. Let's welcome in from Big 12 Radio, Ari Temkin, kind enough to jump on board with us. Ari, how are you?
I'm great. You know, last year when I joined you in this spot, I think it was Friday before the Big 12 championship game, and I was at AT&T Stadium. So my office and my house a little bit, you know, not as nice as AT&T Stadium on the field.
Yeah, that is for sure. You don't have one of those big monitors, those big jumbotrons in your house, in your living room or something like that?
Not quite. You know, I'm talking to my wife about getting an 85-inch, but yeah, not quite that big.
Okay. You know, go 100. If you're going to go 85, why don't you just go 100 at that rate?
You're right. But it's slow. I mean, I don't know if your wife's the same way, Zach, as mine, or if you're even married, but it's
that
like
a girlfriend. Yeah, I'm not married yet, but yeah.
Everything's too big in terms of the size of the screen. You know, like, yeah, it was 60, it was too big. And then I was like, yeah, you just got to creep up. It's a slow creep. So it's 60, then it's 70. So I'm working my way to 80. But I keep telling her, like, the living room we have, like, there's literally no TV that could be big enough.
You know, my girlfriend was shocked when I had two TVs on the wall when she walked into my apartment. She couldn't believe it. And I went to Matt Rule's apartment when I went, you know, he has like a loft on campus. And, you know, after Nebraska played Northwestern from our Temple connections. And I was in his apartment. And I thought it was four different screens, but it was YouTube TV split four different ways on like a 100-inch TV. And I could have sworn sitting there for 3 or 4 hours after a few cocktails, I thought it was four separate TVs the entire time, but it wasn't.
I mean, four 100-inch screen televisions in the YouTube TV, you know, four box.
Yeah.
Now that's living right there.
No, it was unbelievable. Like, I thought it was four different TVs, but that wasn't the case. Alrighty, Ari Temkin here with us. So last time BYU played Texas Tech, I sat there and I said to myself, all right, even if you think Texas Tech is going to win the game, the spread was 12 or 14 points. BYU was undefeated. I thought it was disrespectful. And I'm like, Vegas is really begging you to plus the points, which you probably know how that's going to go. And then Texas Tech, you know, just steamrolled them. What's going to be different this time around if you're going to make the case for BYU?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, look, I'm not completely convinced that it will be different this time around. I think the game will be closer. So I do like BYU plus the points. But whether or not BYU will win, you know, we'll see if some of the things at play that they could potentially play into will play in this game, Zach. But so I start with, like, it was a very uncharacteristic game for BYU. And I don't want to say that they played scared, but it certainly feels like some of the things that we're used to seeing BYU do, be consistent on special teams, not turn the football over. I mean, they were really bad on special teams.
Muff
brutal.
The punt. Yeah.
Yeah. Early in the game, I mean, they get a 3-and-out to start and then a muff a punt and it goes right back and Texas Tech's off and running. They also were -3 in the turnover differential. So, like, they're used to being plus in the turnover differential. I think the thing, though, that you really liked for BYU was defensively they played great. They sacked Baron Morton 4 times. And they held Texas Tech 6 trips into the red zone, kicking field goals. And that's been an issue for Texas Tech this year. Texas Tech gets into the red zone a ton, but their percentage in finishing drives to touchdowns is not as high as it needs to be for a team that's one of the four best teams in the country, and it certainly is. Texas Tech is best on the defensive side of the football. Like, that is it. They are a dominant defense, arguably the best defense in the country. Ohio State may be better, but at that point, you're splitting hairs between the two best defenses by far in the country. What could be different in this game, one, is this game's not in Lubbock. It is at AT&T Stadium, which will be heavily Texas Tech. The DFW Metroplex, where I live, is full of Texas Tech alums, but BYU travels.
Yeah,
this game is...
I'll never forget, I went to a BYU-Princeton basketball game when I was doing, like, small AM radio, 920 The Jersey. It was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday night. And the amount of BYU fans, because they're everywhere, that took over Jabbin Gymnasium, I was blown away by the power of the BYU fan that night.
They're everywhere. And by the way, they also travel. So, you know, I expect of the 90 to 100,000 people that are going to be at AT&T Stadium on Saturday, I expect it to be about 60-40 Texas Tech to BYU, which is an insane number when you consider that there is an insane amount of Texas Tech fans in the DFW area. So, like, top of mind, like, I don't think they're going to run into a freight train like they ran into in Lubbock. And you know, ultimately, I think, you know, LJ Martin, the BYU running back, had just returned from injury. He was a non-factor in this game. He had 10 carries for 35 yards. Since that game, he's been on a roll. Like, he has been playing at another level. And while I don't think you can lean on the run game to open up your pass against Texas Tech, because again, they have a dominant defense and, like, they're going to stop you from running the football, especially on first and second down, I do think BYU needs to be a little bit different in how Aaron Roderick, their offensive coordinator, calls the game. I think they need to get the ball out quickly. I'd do screen passes. I'd get the ball out quickly to wide receivers. I'd throw a lot on first down. I'd try to run on third and short situations. Like, I would totally flip-flop my play calling here to try to keep the Shieldwood and Texas Tech's defense off balance. Because to me, you've got to allow your quarterback, the true freshman, Bear Bachmar, to make some throws down the field. Because if you don't trust him to do it, you have no chance to win this game and no chance to win games in the playoffs.
I wasn't impressed by Bear Bachmar. I know it was one game, but I wasn't impressed by him, obviously, in that Texas Tech BYU game. But this season, he wasn't even on the Sean Alexander, you know, finalists award. I saw that for the freshman of the year. Just what is your evaluation of the way that he's played the position in case that there are some people out there that just aren't watching a lot of BYU or Big 12?
Yeah, it's kind of remarkable that a quarterback who's a true freshman named Bear,
yeah,
who wears number 47, isn't a bigger story. And I mean, it is a remarkable story. I mean, when you think about BYU has won 22 of 25 games, and they've now done it in back-to-back seasons with two different quarterbacks. You go back to August, before the season starts, and suddenly BYU, a team that had aspirations of winning a Big 12 championship, has no idea what they're going to do at quarterback. The Big 12 benefited greatly from Torrey Taylor getting fired at Stanford because it allowed David Bailey to transfer to Texas Tech, where he's, you know, the number one pass rusher in the country, and allowed Bear Bachmar, who as a true freshman spent the spring in Palo Alto, to come to Provo and somehow compete and win the job. Again, he's a true freshman who was playing high school football last year and spent the spring at Stanford, transferred to BYU, earned the starting job, and is now leading his team potentially in the playoffs, but certainly into the Big 12 championship game. And look, I mean, he's not an incredible passer this season. I think they've slowly evolved. Like Aaron Roderick, their offensive coordinator, has done a really good job. Like, they didn't ask him to do a ton at the beginning of the year, and midway through the year they asked him to do more, and now they're asking him to do more and more. So I think they've slowly evolved what's on his plate. But he wears a linebacker number and he plays like a linebacker. Like, that's the best description I can give you. Like, he is a bulldozer. He has deceptive abilities in terms of his running ability, and I think that's what's been so effective, is the two-headed monster of LJ Martin, their tailback, and then what he's able to do in space. But he commands the offense with authority. He knows exactly what he's doing. Like, he plays like a veteran, and it totally belies his age. And I think, like, yeah, he's not this all-world passer yet. That's the next part of his evolution, but he can throw the football, and we've seen him become more effective throwing the football. He's just been really good managing the games, making the right plays, not turning the football over too much, and then really being elusive when running. Like, he's hard to take down. He really, even for a true freshman, he's a tank. He's a load.
Ari Temkin here with us. So Jacob Rodriguez obviously has been the guy they've been pushing at Texas Tech to win the Heisman. Do you think he'll be a Heisman Trophy finalist? And should maybe they have thrown more eggs in the basket of David Bailey for the Heisman?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, yes, I think he should be a Heisman finalist. It feels like, though, some of the momentum for that has waned a bit here. And I correct me if I'm wrong here. Like, the voting is taking place this week, and votes are due before championship games.
Actually different this year. They changed it this year, because this is something I would always bitch about.
Yes.
I always bitched about it. I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, and I would look at my fellow voters, you know, all 600 or 700 of them, and anyone that would cast a vote before conference championship weekend, I thought it was ludicrous. But I got an email over the weekend. Don't freak out if your ballot's not there yet. It will not become available. I think it's at like 5 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday. And then it rolls into 5 p.m. Eastern time. I think it closes on Monday.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm not sure what he'd have to do in order to garner support needed, because, I mean, look, he's put together an incredible season. Jacob Rodriguez has been an absolute animal. When you look at the full volume, the tackles, the fumbles forced, the fumbles recovered, the interceptions, like, he's a maniac. I mean, he is, you know, he's the best defensive player and linebacker that Texas Tech has seen in a long time. And I mean, we're talking about, like, comparatively to, you know, Pro Football Hall of Famer. All right. So now I don't want to, like, diminish that by saying, like, I don't know that he's going to be a Heisman finalist, but it definitely felt like there was more momentum for that over the last few weeks than there is today. And then I think momentum conversely has built for a Diego Pavia and maybe some of these other guys we haven't talked as much about. So really difficult for any defensive player to get there. I don't think he should nor will win it, but certainly think he deserves some sort of recognition for being there. But we'll see. I mean, it's a toss-up. If you asked me the same question 3 weeks ago, I'd have said, yeah, absolutely. But it feels like it's trending more and more away from that.
It feels like right now, right, whoever wins a Big Ten championship game, as long as the quarterback plays well, Fernando Mendoza, Julian Say, and that's probably who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. I think Jeremiah Love will be one of the three votes that some people put on there. Diego Pavia, like you mentioned. But, you know, I remember a few years ago, and now I could talk about who I would have voted for, like, after it gets announced. You know, if Sonny Dykes would have just handed the football off to Max Duggan at the end and didn't take the ball out of his hands, if they would have won that game, I would have voted Max Duggan won. Like, this is an open Heisman Trophy year. So I don't think Rodriguez, even if he plays great and throws a touchdown pass and does all what he does in the defensive end, I don't think he's going to win the award, but he could play himself into the top three this weekend and get back on people's minds, especially with that wrinkle in the voting dynamic.
And I think you're totally right, Zach. Like, nobody's run away with it. And look, I mean, he's had an incredible season. And, you know, I mean, when you compare, I mean, to some of the other, the one that gets mentioned the most is Manti Te'o. But, like, I remember looking at it, and who's the linebacker from Arizona? Scooby Wright?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at the season he had, you know, in mid-2000s, I don't have the numbers in front of me, like, he had ridiculous numbers, like, absurd numbers in terms of tackling, in terms of sacks, and, like, didn't get invited. So obviously, like, the narrative plays a huge role in this. You know, he's got an incredible narrative. I mean, a guy that I'm sure most of your viewers and listeners have seen. I mean, he was originally recruited to Virginia, was a quarterback, decides to walk on basically and pay his way at Texas Tech, and was living on his brother's couch. Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible story. It's an incredible narrative, and it's. For me, you know, I've watched Jacob Rodriguez on Texas Tech for the last few years, and he's just languished as this really high-end level defensive player on these horrible defenses. And so it's just this great culmination of a career of a guy who's always been underrated and always been underappreciated, is now finally getting the recognition he deserves. But you also mentioned David Bailey. Like, he's been a monster and a maniac. It's amazing because, you know, they added Romello Hite, who's been really good as a pass rusher. But, like, I don't know how good they would have been had they not added David Bailey. And he was like a late minute throw in. Even, you know, I interviewed Joey McGuire today for our pregame show before the Big 12 championship game. And, you know, he was saying his conversation with James Blanchard in whether or not they should have gone after Bailey was basically like, you know, do we want to go all in or are we not, you know, like, are we going all in or not? Because Blanchard, their GM, basically was like, this guy, like, he fits the mold. I think that's the other thing that people, you know, overlook when it comes to what Joey McGuire and what they've done at Texas Tech. They're not just looking to spend money. They spent money,
yeah.
Right? Don't get me wrong, but it's the right kind of guys. And that's like, we've seen teams accumulate a ton of talent over the last, you know, however many years. But the difference between those teams that flame out, the ones that have the success the Tech is having, is the buy-in, is getting that group to play together. And I think that is a remarkable feat for what Joey McGuire has accomplished this year.
If I had to make the argument for BYU this weekend, this is where I'm going. I think Texas Tech is going to win the game. Let me be clear. Ari Temkin is here with us. Kalani Sitake was about to go to Penn State. You know, crumble, and you know, the Mormons, they keep him there, and he's an emotional guy. I never thought he would have been playing for the Penn State job, and obviously he's a BYU guy. You know, maybe they could carry off that momentum where, let's be real, this game means more to BYU than it does Texas Tech, and maybe they just get out to a ridiculously good start. And if Texas Tech loses this game, they're still going to the college football playoff. So, you know, that would be my argument for BYU, is the game just simply means more. I still think Texas Tech's going to win it, though.
Yeah, and that's true, but I also don't underplay the motivation that Tech has, because they want that bye.
Yeah,
and not only that, but if they get a bye, they're most, and one of the top four seats, they're most likely going to be playing back at AT&T Stadium for the Cotton Bowl on January 1st at a quarterfinal game. So yeah, I mean, win or lose, they're still in, but they're highly motivated. And again, this was a conversation I had with Joey McGuire this morning. Same question, how motivated are you? Are they more motivated? And he's like, look, we're not playing like we're in. We know that winning and then hosting or whatever else is totally different than getting a bye, being in the quarterfinals, sure, and hosting a game at AT&T Stadium. So yeah. I mean, BYU certainly on paper has more motivation. And, you know, look, we could argue about whether or not they should already be in without having to win this game. But I don't think there will be any shortage of motivation. When you look at the SEC championship, the Big Ten championship, I think the Big 12 championship is the most important game in terms of the landscape of college football in 2025.
I know that Baylor is a confusing situation because Mac Rhodes is now out and they don't have an AD. So it's like, how can you hire a new coach? I was saying Eric Moore should have been their next coach. We now know he's off to Oklahoma State. Aranda sticking around. This is just a one more year thing, and then in all likelihood he's going to be out next year.
Yeah, it's what a disaster. And look, if you remember, I picked Baylor to win the Big 12 this year, and they go out and go 5-7. They were the hottest team in college football last year at the end of the season. Their biggest question mark, and they returned everybody on that explosive offense. The biggest question mark was defense, and I figured, you know, give Dave Aranda a year to fix the defense, and he'll do that. And no, he most certainly did not. Yeah, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. I think Dave Aranda is really smart guy, really great, genuine person. He's a deep thinker. Like, there are a lot of things I like about him. I think he is a really, really high-level defensive coordinator. I think he gets far too lost in the minutiae to be a head coach. He is, and that's why, that's what makes him a good defensive coordinator, is the minutiae. But you can't. You have to be a CEO, and that's not his MO. And he's grown and learned, but it feels like he's, you know, he just makes two snap of decisions. And there's a history here that suggests, like you mentioned Matt Rhule earlier, he won a Big 12 championship with Matt Rhule's team. And, you know, he's been given an opportunity to rebuild teams and just hasn't done it. And, you know, first they didn't embrace NIL, and then they did. And, you know, and it's like he had this great class, and a big reason why Linda Livingstone and the brass at Baylor decided to stick with him was because of this great class that he was amassing, a top 20 class. Well, they had, I think it was five flips that flipped them all the way to 79. So the main reason you even kept Aranda now is no bearing on reality. So yeah, this is a complete lame duck year. I think Baylor decided they didn't want to be hurried to hire a new coach and also hire a new AD. And I certainly understand that, but you cannot become a prisoner in that situation. You could set your program back. And the biggest thing is there's a ton of apathy within this program. Like the momentum is very backwards right now. And, you know, in this day and age of college football, you can't have fan apathy. In many ways, your fans are your biggest supporters of your program from an NIL standpoint. And not just the fans, but, you know, the fans that have the money. And so at this point, there's living in the DFW area, being friends with a bunch of Baylor fans. Like there's some that are still want Dave Aranda to be successful, but a lot that have just checked out because this seems to be the same dog and pony show each and every year. And yeah, I mean, you know, I pushed back against this narrative nationally that there's just not that many good candidates out there in college football. Like, yeah, sure, there's not a ton of Lane Kiffins to hire, but on my short list, Eric Morris, Colin Klein, who looks like he's going to be set to become the next Kansas State head football coach, G.J. Kinney, who's just up the street at Texas State in San Marcos from Baylor, from Waco. So two of those three are now going to be coaching in the Big 12. And I think Kinney would have been a perfect hire for Baylor. I'm with you. Lame duck year in 26. And I definitely think Baylor's looking for a new coach with a new athletic director in 2027.
Can you see Matt Campbell leaving Iowa State to become the next head football coach at Penn State?
You know, my biggest question on that would be why now? You know, Campbell has had so many opportunities to leave for so many jobs, whether it be at the NFL level, at the college football level. I also, if I'm Matt Campbell, like, it's been so public how many swings and misses Penn State has had. Do I really want to, like, if I'm Matt Campbell, my ego probably says, like, do I want to be like the eighth or ninth call that they made? Like, shouldn't I have been before Kalani Sitake? You know, like, it's weird. But it does feel like if you're Matt Campbell, like, what's your long-term plan? Do you want to be at Iowa State forever? Or do you have hopes of dreams of going elsewhere and potentially winning a national championship? You know, because I'm not sure if the NIL at Iowa State is at a point where they can really compete to win national championships. What Matt Campbell has done at Iowa State is incredible. I mean, this year in particular, you know, they went 5-0, lost four straight after basically being decimated in their secondary, and then rebounded to finish off with three straight wins. Like this is the basement for Iowa State. Eight wins is the basement. That's like the average at this point for what they are. So when you consider what Iowa State was prior to Matt Campbell's arrival, eight wins would have been celebrated. I mean, it would have been incredible. They never won double-digit games before ever at Iowa State. They did it last year. So, I mean, I could see Matt Campbell leaving probably more now so than ever before, but it feels like the Penn State job at this point, like if you're Campbell, could you really leave for when you're like the seventh or eighth choice that they had?
And here's the other thing. It's been a mess. Don't get me wrong. But the one knock that I've always had on Matt Campbell, who I think is a very good coach, a few years ago, he's supposed to win the Big 12. He didn't. And then he's kind of said, oh, it was never my goal to win the Big 12. That's what you guys said. I never said that. Didn't Penn State get rid of James Franklin to go right. win a national championship? Like, he could be good there. I just don't know if it's a fit. And Campbell seems like a guy with all these jobs that he could have had that maybe he's just fine staying at Iowa State for his entire career. You know, like, look at Kirk Ferentz. He's like, he never left Iowa. Like, a lot of these coaches, sometimes they just stay at one school and what our aspirations are and how we think a coach should be, maybe he doesn't have those aspirations.
You're totally on point there, Zach. And look, I mean, I think the thing about Campbell is he's just not a results-oriented coach. A lot aren't, but that was the impetus for that conversation. But you're right. I mean, that was literally the reason that James Franklin got fired at Penn State. The standard at Penn State was not what James Franklin was up to. Like, you can win a bunch of games, but you have to beat Michigan and Ohio State and compete for Big 10 championships and compete in the playoff. And they just didn't do that from Ohio State and Michigan standpoint. But look, I think Matt Campbell is one of the best coaches in the country. He is such a good developer of quarterbacks. When you look at Brock Purdy and what he's now done in the NFL, yeah. And then Brock Purdy helped him to recruit Rocco Becht, like they're rolling now in terms of being a quarterback factory. And so, that's a big reason why if I'm looking for a coach, he's certainly a guy that I would look at. But you're right. I mean, that answer publicly did not sound great, but it's mostly because he's just not a results-oriented guy. He's very much process-driven, and it's like, we're going to do these things, and if these things, we do them the right way, we're going to win the level that we want to win at. But he's never going to be results-oriented.
If I was Pat Kraft, this is what I would do. Hey, Kenny Dillingham, how much is it going to take? That's what I would do, and you save face with hiring Kenny Dillingham.
You know, I do wonder with the conversations, if conversations to LSU and Florida ever happened, and how those, you know, how those went down and what those were like. I mean, Dillingham, he's the perfect fit for Arizona State simply because he's from the area. He went to school there.
Yeah.
He's all about, you know, activating the Valley. But, you know, when I interviewed him this year, and we didn't ask him, you know, we asked him about the Arizona, you know, staying at Arizona State. And basically his answer was, like most coaches, I want to be in position to win a national championship. Well, if Sam Levitt leaves for more money because Arizona State doesn't have the donors in order to support the program at a level that allows them to retain guys like Sam Levitt, then I'm not sure he can win a national championship at Arizona State. So while he didn't leave in this cycle, and you're right, I mean, maybe if you're Pat Kraft, you call him up and be like, what's it going to take? We've got the support in order to bring in any player you want to help you win a national championship. You know, that is going to attract Kenny Dillingham. He wants to build it at Arizona State. He wants to stay there, and he does not want to leave. But he wants to win a national championship. And if they don't have the money and the donor support that allows them to pay at the level that they need to retain players like Sam Levitt, then there could be a future in which Dillingham does leave.
He's Ari Temkin, Big 12 Radio. Enjoy the Big 12 championship game. Thanks so much.
Take care, Zach. Great talking. Be well.
There you go. Ari Temkin, one of the best in the business, especially when it comes to talking to Big 12 football, joining us on the show. Take a break. Come on back. Update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, news brief time. This was on SEC This Morning, ESPN. Steve Sarkisian shades Miami while pumping up Texas.
Is this about what your record is at the end Or is this about beating quality teams and showing how good of a team you really are by beating quality teams on the field? Or is it, don't play good teams, put up a bunch of yards, put up a bunch of points, and make it look good. You know, throw fade route touchdowns with 38 seconds to go when you're ahead 31-7 so that the score looks better. So is the committee really watching the games, or are they just looking at a stat sheet at the end of the game to say, oh, well, they won by this many points. They must have played really good.
So I haven't heard Mario Cristobal's response, but if I was advising him, I would say, well, we're Miami. We played Florida. We beat them 26-7. Texas, you played Florida. You lost 29-21. That's what I would say if I was Mario Cristobal. Let's hear how Sark responded.
I saw them play Florida this year. Florida did a great job, had a dominant victory against them. We played Florida. I think Florida was 0-13 on third downs against us. We won 26-7 this year, won 41-17 last year. That's a non-issue. I think we all know that.
So there we go. That's how Mario Cristobal did respond. Mario Cristobal doesn't want to take shots at other programs, though.
Needless to say, we feel very strongly about what we've done, especially as it relates to the opponents that they're comparing us to. And for the right reasons, no, not creating any narratives, always respecting everybody because I believe in that. I believe in that. Don't take shots at people. Respect football. Respect your opponents. But make sure that your case is stated properly, honestly, transparently, and, of course, strongly.
Let's hear more from Mario Cristobal on head-to-head win over Notre Dame, obviously being a big factor.
In the history of the CFP, there's never been a situation where two Power 4, Power 5 teams with the same record that had a head-to-head, never has the loser advanced and the winner been kept behind. And when you look at the reality of the most important thing in all of sports and anything competitive in the world, head-to-head that determines a winner and a loser, Miami did a great job with game control in settling that on the field.
And then let's hear Mario Cristobal. Did he throw a little shade at Notre Dame's schedule?
We've won 10 games, just like, you know, we're being compared to, obviously, to Notre Dame in a lot of different forms and fashions. But the totality of our resume got just as strong or stronger than anybody else. And after their first two losses, right, their resume got stronger. But when you break it down, those 10 games, two were against group of five opponents. And of the other eight games, six of those games were against defenses that were ranked 105 and beyond, right, 105 to 127. So I think when you start looking at the true facts surrounding a resume and how a resume is actually built, I think all those things will be taken into account.
Here's the thing, though. All you got to say is, hey, we beat Notre Dame. They didn't beat us. But I will say, if Notre Dame beat or if Miami beat Notre Dame towards the end of the season, this wouldn't even be a debate. It really wouldn't be. It's just because it happened in week one and people try to flush what happened earlier on in the season in September and October. But if you would have told me that Miami would have, let's just say they lost to SMU in week one, but then they beat Notre Dame on November 1st because that's when they lost to SMU in overtime, this wouldn't even be a debate. No one would have Notre Dame in front of Miami right now. They just wouldn't. Alrighty, let's go to Marcus Freeman, head football coach of Notre Dame, who's on New York Post Sports on the reports that the Giants are interested in him.
The gratitude you have for one even being mentioned by an organization like that, you know, I got a lot of respect for all NFL teams, but you know, the history of the Giants is tremendous. And but it's gratitude for me. It reminds me of the honor that I have to be in the position I have.
Yep.
You wouldn't have said that statement if I didn't have this job and we weren't having success.
Yeah.
And the result of that is, you know, having your name mentioned for a place like the New York Giants or any other major program, it's humbling.
Did I hear a no there? No, I did not. Interesting. If I'm Marcus Freeman, I would stay at Notre Dame instead of becoming the next head football coach of the Giants. I would stay at Notre Dame. Marcus Freeman, it was then on the Today Show on NBC Sports, on NBC, excuse me. Is he staying at Notre Dame?
What about you? Are you going to stay put?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Nico, you going to stay put? How would you respond to that?
I'd probably say yeah.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. Don't really. It seems like you're a little nervous there. Like, hey, Zach, you going to stay as a head football coach at Notre Dame? Oh, yeah. That's it? I love Notre Dame. I'm not leaving. I'm not taking any other job. This is my dream job. This is where I want to be. Not going anywhere else.
Short and right to the point.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah. Let's go Keith Carter, Super Talk, Mississippi, is Kiffin leaving unprecedented?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. You know, I don't think we've seen it before. And, you know, our team, you know, obviously ranked sixth now, you know, has a chance to just as good a chance as anybody to go win a national championship. And so, you know, for me, it's you know, if the thought is you have to go somewhere else to win a national championship, well, man, in the next 3 or 4 weeks, we have a chance to do one right here. So I think unprecedented is a good way to put it. There was a lot of things that happened behind the scenes that were unprecedented as well.
And then let's hear more from Keith Carter on the Lane Kiffin's comments about the whole Ole Miss exit.
There's been a lot of things he said publicly that I'm not sure are totally accurate. You know, I think that both coach and his representation knew, you know, several weeks ago that the coaching in the playoffs was not going to be an option if he was not the Ole Miss head coach.
Finding out at 8:30 on Sunday morning for the very first time that he would not be coaching the playoff is not accurate?
No, that's not accurate. That's not accurate. The only thing that was a little bit of a wrinkle in it, Richard, was the fact that if Auburn had beaten Alabama, we were going to play in the SEC championship. That threw a little wrinkle in it, not to say he would have coached in that game, but with the shorter time period, that was, you know, that was maybe the only little nuance to it. But absolutely, it was very clear that, you know, coaching in the postseason was not going to be an option for Coach Kiffin, you know, a few weeks ago.
And let's hear from Sean Payton on Bill Belichick being a finalist for the Hall of Fame.
There's a few planes right out here on the runway. You know, one of them is Belichick and the other one's Shanahan, and there's Holmgren. It's just a matter of when they take off. You know, and I'll be honest with you, I miss him not being in the league. I miss him not being in the league, and I wouldn't be surprised, and I would be somewhat hopeful that he ends up back in the league. That we'd all be better for it. I mean, he's something.
Yeah, I just don't think he's going to get an opportunity again to be a head coach in the NFL. So the other day, Shams Charania comes out that Giannis and the Bucks are going to talk about the future right before the deadline. Then last night, Giannis Antetokounmpo suffered an injury, a right calf strain, so he's expected to miss 2 to 4 weeks. This is Doc Rivers when asked about after the game and all the reports that Giannis Antetokounmpo wants out of Milwaukee.
There's been no conversations. I want to make it clear just for the, I would say one more time, for the 50th time, he clearly is not getting the One Network, for sure. Giannis has never asked to be traded, ever. I can't make that more clear.
I'm almost sick and tired of this. This is an every year dance. Giannis, do you want to stay or do you not want to stay? And just let us know. So this was the final year of Chris Paul in the NBA. He made that clear. Well, the Clippers are parting ways with Chris Paul. Before we get to Ty Lue and what he said on the CP3 situation, does Chris Paul need a year send-off? You know, I know they're not parading stadium to stadium, but do we need to know that Chris Paul is retiring at the end of the year? Pretty much he found out, I think it was right before the season started. Is he a player that's worthy enough of one of these retirement send-offs, Nico?
Not really. I don't think he's deserving of it. I mean, he didn't even win a championship on multiple teams that were good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still you don't just cut the guy and make his career end like this. Like, I think it's a little weird.
I have an opinion on this. I will refrain from giving my opinion until I hear Santer's opinion on this. I'm still going to give you the opinion the way that I wanted to, but I'm curious what Santer has to say.
I mean, when you hear Ty Lue, it just sounds like, you know, Ty Lue wants to be, you know, he's the coach. He wants to be the leader of the team. Chris Paul, I mean, he was the head of the NBA PA, and he's one of those guys who likes to be in charge. He probably walked in there in his last year and wanted, you know, maybe a farewell tour, wanted to have a little bit more say over some of the coaching decisions. And Ty Lue, it just sounds like a power struggle. So, you know, at the end of the day, they suck. Kawhi Leonard is a shell of himself, and James Harden is nothing anymore. There was no point in keeping around. If they were winning and they were looking good and Chris Paul could lead them to a playoff run, but at this point they're so bad, why even take that chance of having a power struggle? Let him go, let him figure out his own life and then go from there.
Yeah, I wouldn't say James Harden's nothing, but the Clippers, right, they stink right now. You know, people will make the case that Chris Paul is one of the greatest point guards of all time. He's not Magic. He's not Oscar Robertson. He's not John Stockton. He's not Steph Curry. I wouldn't even say he's Isaiah Thomas. I don't get me wrong. He's a top 10 point guard of all time. You know, I think the Steve Nash, Chris Paul debate is interesting. I think Jason Kidd and Chris Paul is an interesting debate. Now, with all that being said, Chris Paul is going to be a Hall of Famer. You could say that Chris Paul is an all-time great. But there's a difference between all-time greats and immortals. And Chris Paul isn't an immortal. Because of Nico's point, he didn't win a championship. Like, you could be an immortal and still haven't won a championship. But can I tell the history of the NBA without Chris Paul? I can. So he's an all-time great, don't get me wrong. He's easily a Hall of Famer, especially with the standards of the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. But a whole year retirement goodbye, I don't need it. I don't. Now, it's not going to happen anyway because the Clippers said goodbye to him. Let's hear from Ty Lue just real quickly. I just want to play that cut because we never played it. Here is Ty Lue in the CP3 situation.
I don't have a side. You know, I don't like it. It just didn't work out like we thought it would, you know. And like I said, I don't like it for CP. It just wasn't a good fit, you know, and we understood that. And so, like I said, it was an organization. They made the choice. I mean, I don't think the reason why we're 5-16 because of CP's, you know, play. I just think that it wasn't a good fit for what he was looking for. And, you know, it is what it is.
So there you go. That's that on the CP3 front. One more segment to play. We'll come on back, talk a little Cowboys, Lions.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage, no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Nico, let me ask you this question. So Andrew Filippone, he just tweeted this out. Excellent Steelers insider, Ray Fittipaldi. He says if the Steelers finish with a losing record, he believes there's a blank amount of chance that Mike Tomlin is out at the end of the year. What do you think that percentage of chance is if they finish with a losing record, something that Mike Tomlin has never done in his career? He's never been below 500.
I'm going to say 35.
Wow. You hit the nail right on the head. It is 35% chance. So the Steelers are 6-6. Do me a favor here. Win or loss, they play the Ravens this Sunday in Baltimore.
Loss.
Okay. Then they play the Dolphins on Monday night.
Win.
Then they're at Detroit.
Loss.
Then they are at Cleveland.
Win.
And then they play the Ravens to end the season.
At home?
Mm-hmm.
I'll say win.
So that's three more wins. So that would put them at 9-8. Just squeeze them in above 500. I went into this year saying this about Mike Tomlin. Two more years, either win a playoff game, which he has not done since the 2016 season, or find a way to get a franchise quarterback, which was not a plan this year. At this rate, I feel like we're just wasting everybody's time. They're not going to be in position to get a franchise quarterback this year. If they get one, it's by luck. And let's be real. Are any of these guys in the draft, are we confident they're going to be a franchise quarterback? And maybe they end up being so. Because how many times do we say someone's going to be a franchise quarterback and they end up being a bust? But even if the Steelers make the playoffs this year, do you think they're winning a playoff game? I don't. So what are you going to do? You're going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers next year? You know, they went all in this year with older players. And it's just not working. Where maybe they win the division. But that's not even a foregone conclusion that they're going to win the division. So at this rate, do you want to be the Steelers? Or do you want to be the Bengals under Marvin Lewis?
I know this didn't work out with Kenny Pickett, so they already tried this, but why can't they find a quarterback in the late teens, early 20s? I mean, the Giants just got Jackson Dart at 25, and we're sitting
here
talking
about... So who's the quarterback this year? Like, Fernando Mendoza right now, probably the first quarterback off the board. If Dante Moore or Ty Simpson fell, all right, sure, maybe it's that guy. But do I think it's going to end up working? Like it's a possibility, sure. You know, maybe Simpson goes there, and maybe he falls out of the top 10. And maybe he goes like 18 or 19 or whatever it is. And maybe he is the answer. Maybe it is Dante Moore. But the fact is, it's been 10 years. Talk about 2017 was the last time, January 2017 was the last time they won a playoff game. Like, are you the Steelers or are you the Marvin Lewis Bengals? Because that's basically what the Steelers have become in the last decade. And I know that Mike Tomlin has won a Super Bowl. And I know that Mike Tomlin has never been below 500. But since January of 2017... the Pittsburgh Steelers have become Marvin Lewis's Bengals, where they make the playoffs, they're there, and then guess what happens? Wild card weekend, you go home. That's what they are. And how can anyone say that they aren't? I understand the Steelers aren't cheap. I understand the Steelers aren't, you know, they make you return a jock strap like what the Bengals did. Right? You want a new one? You got to return the old one.
Or pay for sodas.
Yeah, or yeah, Gatorade sodas, all that stuff. That's one of my favorite Marvin Lewis stories. I first came in, I told the guys, you can keep the Gatorades and the waters in the building, guys. They're free. Don't worry. They're not going anywhere. There are going to be plenty of them. But that's what the Steelers are right now. Not to that cheap level, but in terms of winning in the postseason, spot the lie if that's what you need to have it hit home on how far the Steelers have fallen. Alrighty, fun show today. Big thanks to Willie Colon. Big thanks to Sean Merriman. Big thanks to Ari Temkin for stopping on by. Big thanks to Samter. Big thanks to Nico. Big thanks to, most importantly, each and every one of you. Also, thank you to Ack as well. We'll be back tomorrow on a Football Friday. We will preview all these conference championship games, get you set for another week of the NFL. Also, recap the game tonight that we do have between the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions. I'm Zach Gelb. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Zach Gelb, ZachGelb. If you don't do so right now. And also hit me up on TikTok at The Zach Gelb Show. All righty. Talk tomorrow, everybody. Be out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.